Yes, as I indicated earlier, today the day is going to be unpacked from here of Windhoek, by Dwight Links. And, Dwight, good morning.
How are you doing, David?
I'm well. How was your weekend?
Weekend was okay, man. Obviously went and covered a little bit of some rugby that took place at the National Stadium.
Oh, okay.
And that obviously sort of like, it was okay. I mean, usually it's something new after the league season had concluded.
Yeah,
that's one of the local developments. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, the other local developments is that, you know, we've got the upcoming week specifically of looking at what our president might be contributing to at the UNGA.
You
and I discussed on Friday.
Yeah.
It seems like there's a whole bunch of stuff that her press office is sharing there in terms of what they're doing.
Yeah.
Showing a whole bunch of photos, meeting up with embassy staff and the likes. Mm. But we still have to see what the address will be. Because you know what's the funny thing, David?
Yeah.
Historically, when it comes to UNGA, when the African leaders have to talk, it's usually like a half empty. What do they call that thing? I almost said what is this thing that we've got at university? An auditorium.
Yeah.
It's almost like a half empty auditorium.
It's like a Friday class.
Yeah. Or it's like a part-time lesson. You know? I'd like to see because obviously, our president and the Tanzanian president are one of two elected, democratically elected, you know, like fair and free vote election scenario.
Yeah.
Presidents that will obviously be there. Mm. But we have to see. We still have to see. We spoke about what she would be saying.
Yeah.
Or what she aims to say.
Yeah.
Or contribute and what her visits would be about.
Yeah.
But obviously it's now to see how this week kicks off in specifically.
Yeah. I hope things will go according to their plan.
Yeah.
And I've also seen, UK is also standing on its own to say they are recognizing Palestine now.
And Canada and Australia and
are they isolating Israel?
here's the weird thing.
Yeah.
Here's the weird thing, David.
Yeah.
I've been trying to understand, okay, not Canada and not Israel, but when you look at UK, I've been trying to understand what has been, the UK government, the new UK government under this, Labour prime ministers of this Keir Starmer.
Mm.
Been trying to understand what is their actual point of view.
Mm.
So it's weird.
Yeah.
Because Keir Starmer is a human rights lawyer.
Yeah.
He has, he has served as the, we've got like the ombudsman here in Namibia.
Yeah.
They also have an ombudsman.
Yeah.
But but he was like in a different role. He was like a state prosecutor or something like that.
Like a public protector.
He was something in that line because he had a very high government job.
Mm-hmm.
But it was on the side of government in terms of, you know, being like a legal representation of government.
Mm-hmm.
And he's an admitted lawyer, but, the weird thing is you sometimes wonder what politics is the British busy with?
But I think he had been treading careful because remember you also have the party to
it's not just the party. Do you know what's the weirdest thing?
Yeah.
The British have been secretly, okay, not secretly, because the British public just did not know and the British media.
Mm.
But his cabinet, like Keir Starmer, this guy's cabinet, and the previous conservative leadership cabinet, they since October 2023, when that attack happened, they have been regularly meeting with Israeli generals, with the Israeli defense minister, has regularly flown to London for meetings with British counterparts.
Mm-hmm.
So it's obviously, you know, military to military partnerships and the likes.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're a Namibian, an African standing outside, you're obviously just viewing it, this scenario going like, you know what?
Mm.
But this is what their relationship has been based upon.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, for example, Namibians, you know, some Namibians that sometimes get that sometimes ask the question, you know, why would a president or minister fly, for example, to go and meet up with, his or her counterparts in Angola or in Zambia or in Zimbabwe. Yeah. And then you would hear some of the Namibians going like, you know, that are the rumblings and the mumblings in local media, like, yeah, but What kind of relationship is this? Or they would attack the liberation, you know, history of the relations. Yeah. And then you would go like, but what's the issue? I mean, if you still see, for example, a ZANU-PF in power in Zimbabwe,
yeah,
you still have a swap with this side. Yeah. Of course, the bilateral relations would extend to government on that basis.
Yeah, dear listeners,
you cut it quickly.
yeah, because I don't want us to enter into Malawi election result. I think you are going there. But yeah.
Leave Malawi.
Yeah, you are going to, I think you are going to get deep into it, and thank you, and I'm going to leave you in the good hands of Dwight, and yeah.
And guys, we'll see each other right after the break.
Okay.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Yeah, you know when you know what you want, but you're not sure either.
You mean?
Right. I know I want to study next year, but I'm so conflicted when I think about the field I want to get into. Sometimes I lean more into business, you know, the money. But other times I really want to get into IT because it's like a passion thing.
Yo,
there's a lot you need to think about, but at least NASC gives you the option to choose two programs that you'd like to study, and you can just make your final decision come registration.
Eh? Really? Do tell!
The NASC applications are officially open for 2026, so don't walk, my brother. You must run to NASC and apply today.
Check out the 2026 prospectus at www.nas.na. Namibia University of Science and Technology, reinventing the future.
From sunrise to supper time, Namib Mills is there, feeding the nation with care, quality, and heart.
We believe food is more than nourishment. It's dignity. It's hope. It's the start of a better tomorrow.
Through sustainable production processes, job creation, and affordable, nutritious food, Namib Mills is driving economic growth one plate at a time. Because when we say feeding the nation,
we mean uplifting lives,
empowering communities, and building a future where no one is left behind.
Namib Mills, proudly Namibian,
passionately feeding the nation.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app.
And welcome, dear listeners. Slightly apologies for almost, screaming out your ears right there, but just obviously as David just departed from the studio and ultimately leaving you in the, very exciting, obviously very talkative, as well as also very, if we say insightful, because sometimes my insight, branches, it taps into many particular umbrellas. I don't know what happens, guys. It's sort of like a lightning switch or a light switch or something gets switched on, and then we branch out into many particular discussions, and we were supposed to sort of like just focus on one or stick to one particular talking point. However, I've got to welcome you in earnest to this Monday morning session, specifically of the Unpacking the Day. As promised, I'm once again just, I promised you back on Friday that you'll see me again this morning here on this Monday morning session. And obviously this is as we are battling into the last week of September. I am so glad, slightly envious of I'll call them Helmut's favorite demographics, the guys that got paid on Friday. I technically can't be jealous because, you know, you guys are in a different category entirely. However, no ill feelings, no bad feelings. Just to let you know about the rules of engagement, as we always do here on the Unpack in the Day when it's Dwight here. We go through the particular talking points. You can contribute and participate in some of the talking points coming through at 083-288-401. And we'll obviously look at some of the particular talking points that emanate from the discussions, as well as also in terms of looking at some of the things that specifically also David had, you know, discussed and participated in just before the break. And this is obviously also some of the major talking points. However, we start off as we always do, and just to let you know, you can always participate in terms of looking at also on our social medias. We always bring you some other particular shortened updates and the likes in terms of various talking points popping up and coming about, and which we always cite there. You can always join, participate in conversations there. Alternatively, there's always through the various radio programs through the course of the day of your daily programming diet, and That's what we always do. We always participate there. I can't make any promises specifically when it comes to the home run. You know, we run a pretty tight ship there. However, sticking to the Unpacking the Day, and as always is what we do, we bring you or take you into the talking points emanating from, as we always do, taking a look at some of the headlines, specifically starting off with the Villager e-paper platform. Now, this obviously sees, for those of you, if you've already had a gander and a look at the Monday edition of the Villager e-paper platform, the particular lead story highlighting there is that at least 1.6 billion Namibian dollars in terms of bond paybacks is expected in the month of October. This is specifically regarding, if you don't know what a bond is an instrument by which a government is able to create, you know, cash or to generate some sort of a cash by selling an instrument to a financial market. And said particular financial market responds by looking at the particular value, obviously, that said particular instrument is, you know, putting on the table. Now, the nice little explainer there obviously gives you the GC26, the GC28, the 32, the 40, and the 48. These are the particular bonds in terms of the outstanding amounts. That's obviously the amounts that, you know, need to be paid back, as well as also the instrument, the interest that is due per particular bond. And don't worry about the GC26 labeling. That's based upon, I think it's the years that they will, you know, end at. I say I think because I read up on bonds on a one good scenario, and then I was like, okay, so they're pretty limited, and then, you know, just moved on in terms of, you know, the basic understanding around how bonds work, how they, what values they actually provide, and, you know, what are some of the particular unique discussions around a bond, you know, that exist. And it's pretty limited stuff in many cases. Reason being, guys, Namibia is not obviously on the scale, for example, like a country like Japan or like, you know, or like the United Kingdom, where specifically, you know, Namibia can play around with, and what's the thing's name? Quantitative easing, which is a little bit of a dangerous scenario, because quantitative easing in many cases just works like they print more money to just give it to the banks, and the banks just dispense more money, you know, literally into the rest of the financial market. And obviously for them, the situation then starts looking a lot weirder. Yes, it looks a lot weirder because you don't see it happen in Namibia. You don't. Here in Namibia, you know, other funny economics and financial rules are being applied. So the particular development stemming from this is that these particular updates regarding the first couple of interest payments being done on the bonds that are held by any person, this can be international and local, you'd obviously be, you know, seeing and experiencing sort of like a very good October, let me rather say that. Now, it obviously depends on what the limit is for anyone to participate in or enter into the particular bond market for that matter. However, we then immediately flow over because it's pretty straightforward. The coupon interest payment in October, because it states there that at least 1.6 billion in coupon interest to its bond investors on 15 October 2025. This is as the central bank revealed that as part of its E7 outstanding fixed income and inflation-linked government bonds, it will be paying interest slash coupons in 2025. So this takes place twice a year, as well as also that this is the second particular round of this particular development. However, we get into a notion in terms of a developmental notion. Now, don't worry, guys. You can participate. 083-288-401. However, this time I've got to ask that we keep it a little bit short. You know, 5 minutes-ish maximum. I know. I'm a little bit liberal, but obviously, you know, depending on terms of the subject matter, we obviously take it. We cover it extensively. This is obviously now, as once again, my colleague Anakleta Ikera from Kavango. Where's Anakleta? She's in Rundu, Kavango East. Yeah. So, but this is obviously as Kavango East once again sees a developmental approach happening. However, I am, guys, it is disheartening. I'm not investing any emotions currently because Namibia is a pretty big country and 3 million people are pretty, we are dispersed, you know, extensively across this country. And in some places, it seems it makes places just a little bit difficult to bring a proper service. Now, I don't know if you guys remember. I know, even though he's no longer with us, obviously, rest in peace. This is now, obviously, former President Kaingop. He did have some very impactful quotes. I don't know if you guys remember the particular, you know, war on shacks discussion, which obviously then became the former Minister of Urban and Rural Development's sort of like hot potato issue, being former Minister Erastus Otoni. And then you also had the particular, you know, I won't go as far back as the mass housing discussion, but I'll stay within the realm specifically of the, you know, the war on shacks scenario, where one of the famous quotes from former President Kaingop was, you know, when people were asking, you know, what about bringing services to some of the particular shanty towns, because that's ultimately what you call a mass collection of shacks, a shanty town. You can't call it a township technically, because a township is a little bit more formalized. If we're working on pure definitions here, in the realm of shacks and the emergence of shacks in urban settlements or around urban settlements, one of the most famous quotes that the former president obviously had was, "Who said you should go and live there?" Now, I know it's not a Christian-like thing to cite, but, you know, in the realm of economics and in politics, you know, reality, the brutal reality of situations always emerges, because you have to ask, and a doctor will even tell you this to you, you know, a medical doctor, who said go and do this, or why did you do this? Because in many times you've got to diagnose the real issue. You've got to get to the start of the issue. So, If you're a patient showing up to your doctor and you're telling the doctor, "I've got a headache," the doctor will obviously just prescribe you a painkiller. But if the headache is not subsiding and you come back 2 days later and the headache has just become worse, the doctor will ask you, "Okay, then there's something else." And if you didn't tell the doctor that before you showed up on the first appointment, which was 2 days prior, that you had been suffering from this headache for 7 days and you'd been dosing up on all kinds of painkillers in those 7 days, then obviously the doctor would have reacted with a different approach, would have come with a different kind of a diagnosis report, and then obviously would have applied a different kind of sort of like a remedy, or even given a different kind of a remedy to the discussion, to the said particular problem that you would be suffering from. Now, I know. Once again, I told you guys, you know, sometimes it just, our conversation just branches off into a different direction. The moment the subject matter ignites my brain in one other scenario. However, 25 classrooms to be built in Ndama, obviously replacing 3 classrooms. It is a positive. It is a positive that obviously we've got there in the Villager e-paper platform coming through. However, you and I, as we are both sitting here, would obviously like to see more. Because now we've got to ask a question in terms of, you know, what are the conditions that most of these children live under? Because it's all good and well you go and build a, you know, formal structure for the classrooms in the school. But what are the other things that they live under? Before we continue, guys, let's get the first caller coming through. Eagle FM, good morning.
Yeah, I know you're going to answer, man. Oh.
Angobona, how are you doing?
How's the money?
The money is
100%. Even if you just started with maybe 5 minutes or 7 minutes past 8.
No, it's 100%. You are right, Angobona. There is no complaint.
I know you answer. You only, I don't know, made the kind of influence between you and Amy.
Angobona.
No, I'm telling you the truth.
Angobona, it is the truth, yeah. But that's home run.
Yeah, because, so I'm just telling you from my honest heart.
100%.
If you are to start from, let's say, what time do you start? Is it to 4:30?
Yeah.
4:30, 5 o'clock, 5:30, 6. You see, I think we end around 7.
No, we end at 6 sometimes. It's only on special occasions, you know, when we get like a blessing from David to take over.
Yeah, but that blessing is mostly wasted because you still continue talking. I love the comedian. Mm. And I love the point that you bring.
Mm.
So it's also, you normally talk about this issue that you are talking about. Mm. Like the declaration of the late former president, Dr. Hage Geingob.
Yeah.
Everybody must always be thankful to him. He must receive honor at all times because he created the governance structure.
Mm.
The whole governance structure.
Mm.
The one that was here, it was so colonial and it was not in existence, wasn't responding to our needs. So the people must just thank him for him. I know he came at maybe at the wrong time. So this time around, when you are so badly criticized, and that thing pains me so much.
Angobona, you do know that sometimes there are, like what I've seen specifically in the realm of politics, you know, you will just have, detractors for the sake of just being a detractor. They will just hit on a point that you also sit there going like, is this really a point to be unhappy about?
You know what, the one I was going to be told, don't call again in the radio.
No,
I'm telling the truth.
No, but Angobona, you know that I'm not like that.
So that's exactly, you see, very, very, very distracting. And remember, Hage Geingob, who now declared the sack dollar, I mean, not sack dollar, sorry. Sack dollar is the one who's assisting people to have their shelter.
Yeah. And they are actually working, I have to say that their work is a lot more impactful, Angobona, because it is mostly women.
They are good. I love them so much. I love their leadership. I love their management.
Yeah, it's mostly women who realize
that. I just wish that maybe NHE, the National Housing Enterprise, through the government in that collaboration, the kind of structure, they can just have maybe, and it's not a lot of money.
But they can also they
cannot bomb, so they did their brick, what, there's a project, brick, what.
Yeah.
So, and I have known people who have built their houses through that contribution that they want for $50 or $20.
Mm.
And if they can just be given even, just close your eyes, blindly and sign the check and say, okay, this $30 million.
But Angobona, if you have to ask in reality the question in terms of why is land so expensive? Because in many cases, you would go and sit and think to yourself and ask yourself, how can a local authority ask you 500,000 for the land if they did not even make the land?
Available. Yeah, no. I think those ones we need to address them very urgently, because, you know, so yesterday I'm just telling you, you know, because some of these stories, they are reality. Mm. They can also have impactful, you know. So I was asking one of my canis, ne?
Mm.
So she was here in Osakati. Somewhere in Okanjegedi, they are working with the mother. So some years ago, she didn't do well in this grade 12 and what I say, come.
Mm.
I talked to an uncle, she got in there, she came to me and went up there. When I realized, 2 months ago, I visited her place.
Mm.
And then I say, there is a building for maybe seven rooms.
Mm.
She was talking to me, uncle, yes, yes, so. Now I only need the roofing and what. And so she finished. She's a graduate. She was in the university. Remember somebody who was struggling, went to NAMCOL and then the university. Now she's a teacher, qualified teacher.
Mm.
Then I ask her, why you are building these things? Yesterday I just deliberately said, what is the total cost of that building?
Mm.
Also about seven rooms and sitting rooms. I was asking, how many rooms are there? She says, she does not even know. And I say, how much did it cost you to put up that thing? Apart from this roofing that you were asking me to put and I give her and what, some little money there. She say, I think it's about 110 or 30.
Mm.
Oh, how many rooms did I suggest?
Seven.
Sitting room.
Mm.
If there's even baby, mother feeding, what?
Yeah.
Mother feeding Karoom,
yeah.
Which is not even in the government structure or anywhere else. So if you can able to, somebody can able to avail the land to the people and service it, you service it.
Mm.
Give that person an opportunity.
Mm.
So we have got, we know how to make bricks. I don't know whether that is many people who are coming from the village here.
Yeah, I've seen Angabona there in the Oangwena region. Like every second guy is making their own bricks. So now I don't understand. Now can't one guy sort of like be the enterprise individual and say, hey, listen, let me make all the bricks for all of us. Then you guys don't have to make the bricks. But every second guy is making their own bricks. So no.
The people are not organized.
No, it's not about organized. It's just, you can see sometimes someone says, hey, listen, why must I buy bricks from you if I can make my own bricks? And then, you know, that's the particular.
Yeah. You combine them, you aggregate them, yeah?
Of course.
You say, this one is making his own. Because you know our African kids, everybody's buying his own sale or own
finish. Exactly, yeah.
So now if you organize them, like most of those ones, they are the youth who does those things. Eh?
Mm.
So if they are the one who are doing those things, the youth, then you say, oh, you are from this household. You know, if I need brick now myself, I need brick to build anything.
Yeah, you'll just go to the neighbor, Angabona, because the neighbor is already making bricks.
Because I'm old now, I cannot do that thing. I need to do it.
Yeah.
But we also need to give employment to the people.
Yeah.
What I was saying is that if you organize them and say, oh, you guys, have you heard about what Minitumbo is talking about? This youth fund and what, you are in the thing.
Mm.
Ask them, even those who have got existing business, ask them now, saloon or whatever. Oh, is that so? Somebody was cutting me my hair when we were here. In the north of the Rashohama, somebody whom we did not even mourn, I'm sorry to deviate the story.
Mm.
We haven't mourned that many as yet, ne?
Mm.
Especially people who grew up with him, who were sleeping in the same bed like Angobwana, in the same class, in the same school.
Mm.
You know, that's why I don't like protocol.
Mm.
That formal protocol is a disadvantage to many, many other people. So when you organize those guys who are making bricks, and those are from ISVTC, they are the ones who are also creating those those things that you make bricks with, how do you call it in English? So you follow more, you know, shwambo, atu fani follow.
You mean the mixer, Angabwana? Or you're talking about the tray that has the brick?
Yeah, the tray that produces the bricks.
Yeah.
The bricks.
Yeah.
So those ones, they are here. The guys from VTC, they are making them. Those things. You know what you can do? That's why I'm saying the leadership.
Mm.
I'm not talking about the political leadership. Mm. The political leadership has given you the structure already, all those things that you know. And the open door policy came because of Hagen Geingob. The talk radio actually came because of Hagen Geingob. Remember, he crafted up that policy of a prime minister's, something like was of that nature, where you call him, he answered, he does everything. So the unfortunate part, which actually, distractors.
Mm.
Who are trying to deviate their attention and deform that good character.
Mm.
So they were coming in and say, no, because that's, yeah, he gave them the opportunity during the Constituent Assembly, you know the story. So open door policy, all these things. And he declared, why am I doing these things? Informal settlement. So they are enemy to humanity. And we should get rid out of it. If you give Seth Doyle and the other guys, those who are making bricks, even people here in the rural area, everywhere, everybody can have a dwelling and you can make a dwelling of 2 bedroom or 3 bedroom, service and everything, toilet is there. I don't know why, maybe I'm fortunate or whatever. I'm telling them the story so that they learn and they motivate them. That's why I'm coming to tell my story, not really story.
They built a two bedroom house.
The garage is there, the sitting room there, all the rooms, they have the toilet. I said, how much did you spend? No, at least for now, I'm at 130,000.
Yeah.
They didn't even get a loan from the bank, because even if they wanted the loan, you know, I don't think any commercial bank can do it. But they accumulated, they kept their money with that dweller. And they were able to pay. So empower them financially. I'm not saying politically, because most of those non-governmental organizations and things, we're also talking about those issues last time, they also have their own politics, but you know Seth Doyle, I know. So thank you very much for giving me the opportunity. I was just opening that time.
Not a problem.
And I knew your spirit and your understanding of education. That perspective.
Okay, Angabwana. Thanks for coming.
Listen. Wach mit bitte. You understand. You understand our education. So, when I know you are going to come, what time you say? 4 o'clock. 4:30.
4:30, yeah.
Just listen. Every time I call from 4:30 until the time you finish. Without this phone being answered. So that's why I decided, I think this time around, it's better maybe I go to the gym, do exercise and do this before I start my classes or whatever. Oh my God. Even if you find yourself in the court, your worship, you just talk until they adjourn the case.
I will talk to Helmut, Uncle Bonnet. Don't
worry. Let me tell you, my brother. Honestly speaking, you must tell her. And otherwise, I will tell that Waringa and the management to cut off that wasted time. Thank you very much. God bless.
Not a problem. Thanks, Angabwana. Now, obviously, taking a look, dear listeners, at where we left off. Yes, we branched out into a discussion specifically also of, affordable housing. affordable housing will always be a talking point and a specifically hot talking point. Even though the Hendama promise is one of 2026, and I say this specifically because the minister herself, that being Minister Steenkamp, had been obviously been present where she said that the project would only include 25 classrooms for the Sandama school. It is early days. It is in a planning phase. It is in a, if I can say, a promissory phase, because it's not like it's going to start tomorrow, next week, or anything. Hence the reason why I also told you, you've got to look at what, you know, what's the background of the kids as well? Because does this also mean potentially that they would also need assistance in other scenarios? However, let's get the next caller coming through. Eagle FM, good morning.
Yes, morning, boy. How are you?
Good on you, Mandume.
I'm all right, man.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, they are constructing the what school?
Yeah, but only in 2026. Not like this year, you know. I mean, there's still a good 4 months to go. You know, things can start. Yeah. But it's only starting in 2026. That's the downside.
Why? If they already allocating money to what? To defense. That's 26.
And not just that. it has confirmed, they state here, the government has confirmed plans to construct the 25 permanent classrooms early next year. So early next year can also be, maybe it's 1 January or maybe it's 1 June, first half.
But I think sometimes I was less than, you know, of that location, or we need to demand before election. Because remember, the promise is always done when people are campaigning.
Mm.
And the later on, you never this thing coming through.
Yeah. I mean, Mandume, if you even look at now, like the councillors with the promotional activities happening right now. Okay, a couple of them here in Windhoek are former, media personalities themselves. I won't mention names because I don't want to, you know.
No, yeah.
But
I
just,
know them.
Yeah. You would have seen them as well. In some cases, you know, former journalists or former media practitioners are obviously, they're very exposed to the issues that, communities are concerned about. Yeah. But now the downside is when they themselves become a particular participant in a, you know, political scenario, it just makes them part of the political discussion. It doesn't make them, it doesn't make them part of a solution or a potential solution or a potential way out. Because, for example, where me and Angabona ended off specifically on the notion of, hey, look at, why does it cost 500,000 just to buy an ERF? And that's even before you have to service the ERF in some parts of the country. Now, I'm just using the 500,000 because that's the highest price I've seen.
No. That's not the highest. They are more than even that. You remember the extension, new extension of Academia? It was then sold like what? 1 point something.
And that's just for an unserviced ERF, no?
Yeah, just imagine how much we are going to build. How many people are having that money, kind of money in Namibia?
Exactly. So you have to ask yourself.
Elf. Without even
The local authority does not make the thing. They don't make the land.
Exactly.
And they know that that house is going to be there for the next 40 to 50 to 60 years. They have 40 to 60 years worth of income if they just charge you the connection fee, the service fee.
I'm telling you.
They will make their money back.
No. The municipality, the way I'm thinking of Namibia, who is a municipality cannot do business at? Like the flat where they are giving individually, I mean private institution to build. Why they can do that? Then we have a council flat, like other countries are doing, like UK and the others. It's where they are mostly making money. But here in Namibia, it's about to like land it to become one of the colonized, re-colonizing
mechanisms.
Another fellow Namibian. Because the way I'm looking at it is that you cannot tell me. Even service cannot go to cost that much. But I'm telling you, 500, 300, elf. My friend, what I'm going to build with that? And remember, most people who are having even the money, I mean, earning salary here.
Mm.
It's about, they're about like a police, nurse, and it becomes so hard for them to afford it.
Mm.
And we are talking about the people who are in career now. We are talking about career, nurses and teachers.
Yeah.
Kids are dreaming to become one of them. But once you have a nurse, we cannot have, I mean, afford the land. What is the point for me to study,
mm.
to become a nurse, or to become a policeman,
mm.
or to become a teacher?
Mm.
Because most of the people, they cannot afford it.
But you know, by now, Mandume, that the last time you and I talked about, you know, nurses, is that it seems that many of the nursing graduates finish just to go and work in Germany.
Yeah, most of them, my friend, most of them, they are living.
Yeah. So we are sitting with a brain drain.
Also, they must look and
yeah, we're sitting with a brain drain. There's that new hospital that they have to build. What's that hospital on the other side of what's that? What's that in Formosa?
Havana.
Yeah, on the other side of Havana. The hospital where...
Did you see them talking about it even now?
No.
No, it's no more. The election is done, huh?
But remember last year, Mandume, they invited us, the media, to a groundbreaking ceremony, ne? They invited us to a groundbreaking. Yeah, they invited us to a groundbreaking, but we were told you need 4x4s to get where this groundbreaking is. And then we, the media, were asking them, so where is this hospital? If we need 4x4s to go take a photo of you just, you know, putting a shovel into the ground. Where is this piece of land?
Where is this hospital without a proper road so ambulance can travel safely with a patient?
Exactly.
Now,
exactly.
That's what I'm telling you, but our people, they fall on these things when they come to, especially when they're approaching the what? Election.
Mm.
And they remember, the ruling party is doing everything possible. And now, if you can see even the fund which they are allocating to the youth,
mm.
just imagine, in there, 15,000 people apply, you only take 42. It doesn't know the indication that, you know, the rich are getting richer, and the poor are getting poor every day. Because remember,
but here's the thing
just
about...
Just imagine where you are in Wangwena, in that gravel road where you are. There's a Dunja there, there's a Tomba, and there's Okangudi, the resident of Puamba. Just imagine somebody sitting there in the neighborhood of Puamba and Okangudi to do business plan. You know how far it's from there to go to Shikango, where's the main town?
Yeah. Mandume, just hold on for me. We've got an ad break.
Okay.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Get Mandume, coming back, you've got extra 30 seconds.
Yeah, let me just conclude.
Mm.
You see, Ne? Just imagine they give those youth deadline.
Yeah.
Just imagine somebody who do it have to do with the business plan. You never done it before in your whole life. You don't even know how to complete VIT when it comes to inland revenue
platform. Yeah.
Just imagine you are school dropout like a grade 12 failure.
Mm.
Now you are given a deadline of like a week to complete all those things. And now you are going to your cousin Dwight to be borrow money. At the end of the day, you go to Oshkango, you go to Enana, because those are nearest town where you can do those things.
Mm.
To get all those for you to register and everything.
Mm.
And now, they come, 42 people. Is this not a disappointment?
It is.
Because we are hoping that maybe something can come through.
It is, Mandume, because I have to ask the particular question. I know people are trying to drive youth innovation, youth aspects, and youth this and youth that. And Helmut and I, we've given multiple examples, here on air, Mandume. The unfortunate thing is the youth learn from the previous generation. I don't know if you remember listening to a discussion yesterday morning. There was a particular session that we broadcasted after my show, after the Sunday morning take, where, what's the guy's name, Joshua Maponga, was talking about, you know, the youth are here today, so they need to learn what they can learn today. So,
I'm telling you.
So what is technically happening? I know I'm sort of like just simplifying it, but it seems that, somewhere, somehow people are hearing the youth have to do something, or the political leaders have to do something for the youth, and that the youth have to come up with ideas so that they can get assistance. But in between, in reality, you've got a whole bunch of, people that sit with knowledge. I mean, what's his name? The Prime Minister, Ngurare. 2 weeks back when they launched that government strategy, 2 weeks back, he stated in his address that they are aware of qualified, unemployed Namibians who cannot find opportunities, who cannot find ways to try and, what you call it, to implement the knowledge, the skills that they have in the Namibian economy. Mandube, the reality on the ground is, and you and I are seeing it.
Yeah.
Nurses will always get work. Teachers will always have an opportunity. What's the other people's name? What's the guy's name? There's a specific skill group also. The VTC guys will always have, the VTC. If you're doing the skills that are needed, let's say for the green hydrogen and for the oil and gas and for the mines, you will always have a job. But it's the guys specifically, for example, like even in my field, I can already see, Mandume, like 4 years from now, 3 years from now, there will be no point in doing media or journalism or studying it in Namibia.
That is exactly.
Unless you go and work for the government information systems, there'll be no point. Do you know what is the worst thing that I came to a realization from a discussion that I also watched over the weekend? It was two guys that were talking about propaganda in this current climate that we're seeing, obviously, in Europe. This is now NATO against Russia. And this academic, this German academic said, when he went and looked for statistics in terms of registered media practitioners, he found that there is 40% journalists and 60% are public relations officials who work for the government and for organizations. So the PROs will obviously earn way better than the journalists. The journalists live in economically uncertain time periods. So that means,
I'm telling you.
And you can even see that in Namibian context. You can even see it in Namibia.
Every day. That's why now, sorry to cut you,
because
I want to give other people a chance.
Yeah.
Listen, that's why we see it in Namibia, that people are suing, journalists are being sued like left and right. I'm telling you. And now as a person you also admiring, like I want to become like a Dwai. Then I see what Dwai is going through. This person is swearing Dwai. The other one is what is having a court pending case. This one, come on. These are things which are, that's what I'm saying, if you come from a house where people are smoking, just a cigarette, normal smoking, you are likely to follow in. And sometimes maybe you can have your way out of it, but seriously, sometimes it's always, come to hand you down. You might end up with, because second smoking, if you don't smoke, you are mostly affected. That is what environment which we are putting those kids going through, those one at the shack dwellers. It's what we are putting them through every day. Because what they see, person to admire, is a security guard.
Yeah.
A security guard is even doing better than what? The guy who is a policeman, because the policeman is always in what? In the pocket of Lesotho.
Yeah.
To say that.
Yeah.
But it is what is happening.
Yeah.
The guy is even, his capacity is only having like a 14 on top.
Yeah.
But the security guard is the one like mostly taking care of. He's even having a family, he's having a wife. You see? But now, how do you want the next generation to be if we are already having a situation like that in Namibia? That's what I'm saying. What we are going through today is because our first generation would have done that. That's why we are finding ourselves. Then we can even, our first generation, it was even better because they used to sell it for sugar, the land.
Mm.
And there was sugar in the, but today we are selling for papers.
Yeah.
Yeah, because once I take you to desert with your, you're full of bag, bag of money for American dollars.
Mm.
Then I put you in Namibia desert. You might end up burning those dollars to, for you to survive because it's cold.
Mm.
Yeah. It's a situation which I'm telling you that our people, they are too much interested in the what. That's why one day I have the argument with another guy. I'm telling you, no. You know those robots are going fast. They are going to kill us, man.
Mm.
I said, no. I cannot be a robot. I said, no. What do you mean? Check the structure. It's a robot. Mm. Car is just, you know, this luxury car. That's why I'm saying we adapting too much luxury. And then everybody, if you are driving, like I mean, the robot of like a Mercedes Benz, you think you are the best in the in the location.
Yeah.
But it's not supposed to be way. That robot is always supposed to take you point one to point two.
Mm.
Yeah, it's just a form of transport.
Yeah.
Just like the way we used to yeah. But the way we are looking at it, it's like, no, I have to step on your toe because I'm driving my city Benz. No. The way we are too much on the property, thing which we are dying tomorrow and then we have to leave it.
Yeah.
And we don't think, you don't leave a legacy because you never did anything to the community. You used to drive your Mercedes now, who's going to drive them? They are dead. You are dead. Eh? People are dying for hunger. You are buying expensive cars. What we see our, in our government are doing. There's no medicine in the hospital, but they are already programming the cars. For honorable. No money. So let me give other people a chance.
No, no problem.
Anyway, sorry for diverting from your topic, but anyway, that is the reality which we are facing today.
Yeah. 100%. 100%. Thank you, thanks a lot.
All right.
Now, obviously, as we are about 5 minutes out from, the top of the hour at 9 a.m, dear listeners, we'll be technically, you know, rolling into the second half of the show. Let me just take the next caller coming through. Eagle FM, good morning.
Hey, boy.
Good morning.
I'm back. I think, you know, that's why I like you, Mr. Kassi. That's why, it's not that I like it.
Mm-hmm.
It's more educative, informative, and things like that.
Mm.
So, let me tell you a story. This is the youth scheme funding that just came.
Mm.
It has been there all along.
Mm. It probably just has had different names before.
Yes, maybe.
Yeah.
But then you now say, even if you go to the state, start with the Development Bank of Namibia.
Yeah.
And then they have got all those entities that are collaborating with them.
Yeah.
And you know what they really want to fund more?
Yeah.
Are the people, the artisan. Artisan.
Of course, people with skills.
So now, if you are a plumber, if you are a welding and fabrication like myself, or motor mechanic.
Yeah.
Like myself.
Yeah.
I learned those things from VTC. Now, you are telling me that if you are in that area and you have graduated maybe 5-6 years ago, people are talking about building schools. Whether it's 20 or the next year that you are talking about, that is the financial aid. But what they are still money for the previous year.
Mm.
But you are an artisan.
Mm.
And you still don't know how to fund
yourself.
A few minutes ago, we were talking about sub-dweller.
Yeah.
Sub-dwellers are the people who are constructing, building houses, schools, and all these things. You yourself there, you have got people who are constructing, you know, Angwena, Dunja, or whatever you are talking about.
Mm.
And you are failing to organize those people who are making bricks, so that they build the houses, and then you do now the plumbing.
Mm.
I do the plumbing myself at my home.
Mm.
So for you, you have the lotus and all these things. Oh, and you are well established. But you are failing to go and organize those things, and you are telling us that there's no funding. The funding has been there.
Yeah, it has always been there.
So why can't you, didn't you tell your last caller that yes, the funding has been there if he wants? You know how to craft up your business plan. Thank God, Kanzero Kankwa Nyoka volunteered himself.
Mm.
Guys, who want to be helped in business proposals, funding proposals? You want to register a business with BIPA, and it does not even, it only cost you 75. They are still at 75 revenue stand.
Angobona, you and I, we've explored this route in other scenarios.
You are still allowing people to come and distract us.
No, Angobona,
they start yesterday. The budget. You don't know the budget cycle?
I know the budget cycle, Angobona.
I know, not you.
The other people. Yes. No, that was...
They come and distract, the distractor.
That wasn't the point, Angobona.
They are telling me that I put words in the people's mouth.
Angobona, the point was a scenario of looking at how does new businesses, how long do you think they last in Namibia?
Which one?
New businesses.
Because they don't want to do anything. They just want to complain about the Zimbabweans and they want to bring xenophobian kind of spirit.
No, Angobona.
They are confusing people.
No, Angobona, it was a rhetorical question because new businesses.
Ah, he's right.
Yeah.
I've heard people who are saying the opportunities are not there. They are even against the Zimbabweans who are selling mop.
Well, technically, Angobona.
But
Angobona, technically, the Zimbabweans should not be here because they're not adding value to us. They are
what
selling.
What are they not adding value? The mops that you are using in the informal sector.
Angobona, I heard those mops come from Chinatown. They don't come from the Zimbabweans. They don't make it.
What about? Hey, so now for you to go to Babylon, where I was living.
Yeah.
Where I was living, you know how I did it, man?
Yeah.
I was an adult education facilitator in Nathaniel Mahuri in Babylon.
Mm.
And our people used to go even and get fish in town.
Mm.
Sorry. So you create some opportunity for the people to save their money, to go to town and get fish.
Mm.
And my wife decided, why can't we put a cell phone workshop here? You know that time when you have a cell phone?
Mm.
Those ones that you dial, call somebody from Zimbabwe or Brazil and things like that.
Mm.
And then they have fish also there.
Mm.
Now, you know, that time I was just almost an entity and a non-entity. So what I'm saying now is that when you now come to Artisan, where people are funded, what have you done before you distract the whole thing? People want to understand and get information. Mm. Where do I go? How do I come up with my business plan? And volunteer freely, free of charge.
Mm.
Bring your, you know what you want in your profession there.
Mm.
Now, why are you telling us that the funding and the 26, not you, because they understand the financial things.
Mm.
And they said, if, for example, next year, the children will be more in Windhoek, who are enrolling into grade one, you know, it's normally grade one, and the other grades, I forgot.
Yeah.
And the CMK who was just talking about, he understands, he knows.
Yeah.
The reason why the Angwena, it is doing well in terms of education.
Mm.
I know most of the principal there who are learning, and when the student come, has been there to address those educational challenges in the Angwena.
Mm.
She knows. So you, we ourselves, who knows the artisan and we know our profession, we want to interfere where we do not even understand anything.
Mm.
That is distract. Are they not the kind of distractor? And I'm prepared for anything that comes.
That's
when I talk, they say I put words in the Michael's mouth.
Which Michael Agbona?
Michael, the one who was supposed to take this program that where you are now.
No, no, no. He's just got a little bit of some sick leave. That's the reason why.
I don't want to hear the reason why it's not here. I'm saying when they come here with this that program,
yeah,
we call a distractor. We are putting mouth in Michael's mouth.
Words in Michael's mouth.
Michael's...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because we are talking about these things.
Yeah.
Is that really education that can really liberate our people who are, you know, struggling to come out of poverty? And the government has made the things available for you. And the distractors are coming to say, no, it's not possible.
Mm.
We are saying that with God, all things are possible.
Mm.
We are going to come very forceful now to make sure that they don't deliberately just hinder people who want to create wealth and add value to our nation. Thank you very much, my white man.
Not a problem, Agbona.
Yes.
Now, dear listeners, as we have just sort of like rolled over the midway point, which is 9 a.m. specifically, this is obviously as you are listening to the Unpacking the Day here on your number one talk radio station, that being Eagle FM. The obvious talking point has been obviously one of a developmental nature. Don't worry, guys. Namibia won't go anywhere. We will always still have developmental subject matter to talk about because we are still developing. In all honesty and in all essence. The Dindama school situation obviously is a futuristic discussion because things still have to come and things still have to be done. Even though it has now been, as I said, in a promissory sense, highlighted that things will start next year. That can be 1 January or that can be 1 June. Somewhere in that first half is the indication has been given. Now, I see the phone line is flashing, but we quickly have to take a short break, guys, and we're going to come back right after that. I have to apologize to the caller who's, trying to get through there. Just have a little bit of patience. We'll be back right after the short break.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Now coming back there, dear listeners, from the short break. Yes, you're in my company from 8 a.m. up until 10 a.m. here on the Unpacking the Day. Obviously, this is your Monday morning session. Obviously, it is, if you're in the capital, it is wonderful weather out there. A little bit of a coolness. Even though I heard a little bit earlier today specifically that I feel sorry for anyone living in Rundu today because you guys are going to be hit with 38 degrees Celsius as your highest. That is severe. Please do hydrate. Stay hydrated. Keep a bottle of water close by. Try to stay in the shade as much as possible because cataracts are a real thing. If you guys don't know what cataracts are, it's one of the negative developments, obviously, that impact your eyesight. And that it's a type of a growth because of overexposure to ultraviolet light, which is usually sunlight. Remember to wear a hat and do all the necessary things, obviously, of looking after yourself. But obviously, where we find ourselves here on Eagle FM on the Unpacking the Day, we've rolled into the second hour, which is the second half. We are unfortunately going to roll over from Ndama's 25 classrooms that were outlined for the first half of the year into the cyber attack discussion, obviously stemming from the Villager e-paper platform. But before we continue, let's take the next caller coming through. Eagle FM, good morning.
Oh, I don't know why I'm
the Uncle Buana, toch man, Uncle Buana. You know, it's on round 3 now.
But your question that you ask is the not answer that you asked me.
Which one?
That the Zimbabwean, apparently the Zimbabweans are not adding value.
They're not adding value, Uncle Buana.
Okay, so when you look at the region, Wangwena, Oshana,
Angabwana, they go and buy from a China shop, then they walk to the closest house or the closest street. I've seen it here in Windhoek. They walk to the and it costs $20 at the China shop in Chinatown. They walk to the closest street in somewhere in Kommersdal or in Rocky Crest or in Ochumise, and they charge the local guys there, the local Namibians.
In the north,
80 bucks.
They also have a business, well-established business.
Angabwana, you were talking about Zimbabweans selling mops, not Zimbabweans with formal businesses.
They are not in terms of skill transfer.
Of selling a broom, Angabwana?
No, the broom is fine. But what I'm saying that you have got a well-established business.
Run by Zimbabweans, yes.
The government.
Yes.
In the north, yes.
Yes, that is a given.
How much are they contributing to the GDP?
No, those guys are doing their part, Angabwana. They're employing Namibians. They're Namibians with skills that they are attracted. But I'm talking about the Zimbabwean Angabwana who's selling a broom. That's the guy that's not supposed to be in Namibia.
Do you know that in Namibia, in terms of working from Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, in terms of medical service.
Angabwana, that's a skilled person you're talking about, Angabwana. I'm talking about someone that is selling a broom. That person is not supposed to be in Namibia.
You know, the people who are selling brooms in Namibia, they are university graduates.
How do you know, Angabwana? I don't know that, Angabwana.
I've worked with them. I used to sell brooms also.
Angabwana, how long ago was that? Was that 20 years back?
So, listen. When I came in Namibia, in 1989, I came from the battlefront. We got repatriated in Namibia.
Yeah.
And then we started in our family.
Yeah.
My brother was being in the battlefield all those years.
Yeah.
We started selling clothes. I used to go and get clothes from Grootfontein.
Okay.
There was only DAP. You know DAP? DAP.
Yeah.
It was in Grootfontein. And then my brother was also selling clothes, those second hand.
Yeah.
And I started selling. So all those from 1990. Then when I decided, let me just enroll in 1995 in the Polytechnic of Namibia.
Mm.
So all along, when you talk about Zimbabwe, until 20 something there, all our hospital, whether it's Catholic, you can go there and then you get assistance. All along the national hospital, like the one for white.
Angabwana, do you realize, Angabwana, that you are making a big contradiction now in 2025? In 2025, because you're talking about low-skilled jobs, Angabwana, that many low-skilled Namibians can enter into. That is not the person that Namibia needs.
Listen. We were talking about artisan and making bricks.
Exactly.
The people who are making bricks.
Yeah.
Some of them have got grade 10. Some of them have got 12.
Yes.
Some of them have got
grade 7, grade 3.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Those are the people me I'm so much concerned of. That's why I was saying, if you are a graduate from a VTC and you have studied plumbing or welding and fabrication, for example, why is so difficult for you who has got the skill and you know people are making bricks in there and when the student come is calling for more could be constructed there. Maybe this time around it's not going to be only August 26th. Because if August 26th, they will come in and say, hey, yo! But how many August 26th are constructed schools? How many of us now here who are at some willing to go and construct the school that Minister Nkam is talking about? Yes, and those people that you are going to employ, are the ones who are already making those bricks.
Yes, Angabwana. As long as they are Namibians. You remember, Angabwana, the unfortunate thing is Namibia has to look after Namibians. And Namibian businesses have to look after Namibian businesses.
We're independent. your independence, social justice.
Angabona, you can't talk about a low-skilled Zimbabwean coming to Namibia to make money.
Why?
It's the reason why Donald Trump is now telling his own private sector. Angabona, do you know what he's telling his private sector? The Elon Musk's. He's telling them you will pay $100,000 up to $100 million for a visa for a highly skilled person, foreigner, that they want to bring into the US. Which is...
What?
Because he wants American businesses to hire Americans, which is the same policy Namibia has had.
You know the reason why?
Yes.
Mala, you want the skillful personnel to remain in South Africa or in Namibia or in Africa to contribute.
Of course.
So that's why he's putting the price higher.
Of course, Angabona.
So, okay, if that is the case, then that one is settled. So what we are saying is that those low-skilled people that we are talking about, the Zimbabweans, the low-skilled, the laborers, all those institutional workers, they are the ones who were producing the maize that we are eating in Zimbabwe, I mean in exile. All the people, whether they were in Namibia here,
Angabona, we are in 2025, Angabona. We can't talk of 1989, Angabona.
So, but you were just told there that you must know your history.
Yes.
So you know the way you are.
Exactly.
In the future.
Exactly, Angabona.
So now, if you do not want to tell me that you cannot allow somebody who is unskilled from Zimbabwe to come and sell here, he's the one who was producing the food that was feeding you when you were in exile and fighting for your liberation.
No, Angabona. Okay, Angabona. Angabona. This has been your third take, Angabona. Is it okay if we stop the discussion?
Anytime you come, I'm going to continue with this topic.
Yes, Angabona.
Don't misunderstand the people who have contributed to your welfare.
No.
Yeah.
No, Angabona. No, Angabona. Yeah. They have not contributed to my welfare. I'll tell you today. They did not contribute to my welfare.
Of course,
I am, Angabona. Of course, I am.
Let's now say. Those people who were not privileged, who could not travel from Babylon where I was living, to come to town. Even when we came to town, it was a struggle. You never wanted us to come to town.
I know that, Angabona.
So please, let's now put.
But Angabona, I will not be in favor, Angabona.
Angabona.
Not a problem. All right, guys. On that particular note, as I've promised, we're heading into the cybersecurity discussion, obviously. And, this is now moving away from the Ndama school discussion. Let's also cite the discussion, obviously, under the cybersecurity. Now, cybersecurity, slightly, jumping into a different realm right now. This is obviously now as CRANET themselves have cited that there has been an uptick of at least 1.62% of cyber threats. Now, this is as 549,000 cyber vulnerabilities have been detected across various domains within the Namibian cyber landscape during the first quarter period, which ran from April to June 2025. But that's not the first quarter. That's the second quarter. I mean, the first quarter would have been from January to March. But anyway, now the cybersecurity discussion, guys, this is obviously a realm that you don't see with your naked two eyes. This is not a realm that you ultimately know, what is the threat discussion? What's the propensity of threat? What's the level of threat that will impact yourself, myself, any other person? Well, that's the thing. We don't know. About back in last month, which was the month of August, we had the range of, financially inclusive or financially included, discussions brought to you by F&B here in studio, where my colleague Hende obviously, had the various insightful discussions with, guests coming through from the banking institution known as F&B itself. One of them was obviously a particular talking point that stemmed from, how do cybersecurity actions usually come about? Cybersecurity actions always, usually,
come about when they attack the human participant. So it'll be an obvious email, which is a dubious email, stating, hey, listen, I am print something, something, something from somewhere in Nigeria trying to do that. That's one of the oldest. The second one would obviously be you going into websites that are not so safe. And then the website is actually loaded with a whole bunch of, you know, malware or malicious software or other particular aspects of, you know, compromised. The whole website just has a compromised security certificate. Recently, I went onto, what was the website's name? The Ministry of Education's website. I was going to look, and this was back on Thursday. I was looking for a specific policy document that was being referenced by the minister herself, that being Minister Sanet Steenkamp. I went to go look for this policy document, and literally my web browser told me the security certificate of this website has expired. Now, if you don't know what that means, potentially when a security website has expired because you register all websites with a specific authority internationally, this technically means that for any particular malicious actors, they call them actors out there, these guys will go and link a particular malicious software to the website. The website looks fine. The moment you dial in that URL of, or you type in that URL of whatever, and it loads on your PC or it loads on your laptop or it loads on your phone, the unfortunate thing is sometimes you immediately get exposed to anything that is attached to the website. How it sometimes acts, if you guys ever seen laptops and, you know, and smartphones sometimes flickering weirdly or switching on and switching off, just doing weird stuff, just take note. Usually it how you can fix it is with a reboot. You know, you just reboot or you just switch it on and off, you know, to look after that. However, the indication from cyber attacks and cyber security vulnerabilities or cyber vulnerabilities is one that has always been a constant. It's always been constant and it's always been present. Now, this is obviously as the CRAN SNAM CERT, CERT as they call it, the Security Cybersecurity Incident Response Team. They themselves have obviously indicated that Namibia's evolving cybersecurity landscape and its renewed commitment to protecting critical information infrastructure, but they are substantial issues with Namibia's particular national cybersecurity approach. From policy to agency, meaning the agency, the NAMC CERT, there's a fundamental issue and there's a fundamental flaw. You cannot protect me as a Namibian, me, Dwight, sitting here, or you, the listener out there. CRAN cannot protect me because CRAN does not have a data protection law to run on, and CRAN does not have a cybersecurity law to run on. The two fundamental aspects. It shouldn't be even an aspect. It should be two fundamental requirements that should be present or not present. Look, guys. Most of us, many of us, we don't know how, you know, cyber incidences occur. I will tell you today, because of Namibia's particular prominence through the oil and gas discoveries, through the green hydrogen development programs, and obviously through various other particular things, Namibia is going to become more and more connected to the global, if you can call it sort of like the global data highways and interconnected landscapes of the digital landscape across the world. Namibia will become more and more connected to that landscape. Now, if you become more and more connected, the potential is more and more of the not so good actors will pay more and more attention to you. It's an unfortunate thing. It's an aspect that happens. It's a reality that occurs. You cannot stop it. It's like telling someone, stop looking at someone else. Even if it's just, you know, a quick glance at the person, because it's the person's right. They do have their own eyeballs. They may look where they can look. It's like telling someone not to breathe, which is not right. So the downside is Namibia really in this next, this year is almost done. It doesn't even help me saying that this year should be done. I mean, and this is where I literally concur with the one opposition MP from the National Assembly, like back in last week, who stood up. I forgot the guy's, I know his surname is Mouton, but he stood up there in the National Assembly last week, read a statement that said, hey, listen guys, can we please sort out clearing the backlog of bills that need to be debated on? Because in reality, there's too much sideshows and circus events taking place in the National Assembly. Too much of it. When I say sideshow, it's literally not part of the order of the day. And when I say circus, it's more performances than really adding value to you and my life. Because we really have to understand, when will we talk about the lack or the obvious non-existence of a cybersecurity law and the obvious non-existence of a data protection law? Your personal data needs to be protected, guys. It needs to be protected. I myself experienced a data protection transgression in my life. I don't want to talk about it because it'll obviously unveil obvious corruption taking place. I experienced it back in 2017. I experienced it literally, guys. This is not even a discussion to say, hey, listen, there's no reality. There is. You have agencies in Namibia that are entrusted with your personal information, that are entrusted to protect your personal information. And unwittingly, you find yourself in some cases being a victim in certain scenarios where you find out your motorcycle license number ends up in an accident in Oshakati. That is literally what happened to me. Keywords, motorcycle license number ends up in an accident in Oshakati between two cars. So, when you look at the aspects of data protection, in that scenario, I had no recourse. I had no recourse. I cannot even approach it. And yes, Angabona would obviously talk about, you know, privileges. So what? I have my privileges. Those were the scenarios ultimately that came about. But to come and talk about specifically aspects that clearly of a Namibia today, we should be looking at Namibians for today, where Namibia has its own issues today. To hear about someone coming across the border, coming and selling a Namibian an $80 wooden broom or wooden mop that costs $20 at the local Chinatown. Even if you take that local Chinese trader there in Chinatown and you compare it to that foreigner, I'll call the person a foreigner, they're both foreigners technically, walking around in the suburbs here in Windhoek or in some of the other particular urban settlements across the country. The one has opened up an actual physical business with goods and stock in it. The other one is walking around peddling. Both are technically peddling. They're both peddling their wares, for better use of English. They're both peddling their wares. Now, the reason I know I'm slightly deviating from the cybersecurity discussion, but at least you know, every day, you know where the actual business is there in Chinatown. You know where Chinatown is. You know where the actual business is. So if you have an issue, let's say that wooden mop that you bought for $20 from that Chinese trader breaks today. You bought it yesterday, breaks today. You know where to go and say, hey, listen, my guy, I used this thing once. I bought it from you yesterday. You obviously remember my face. That obviously depends on the situation at hand and the character of the individual. And obviously there will be an aspect of recourse to be taken. But to hear that a peddler walking through your town, walking through your urban area, who's a foreigner, who potentially does not even have a passport, is someone I should consider for the national development agenda of this country, where that person is clearly overcharging a fellow, a Namibian, by potentially $100 to $60 to $80. Here's the thing, dear listeners. I don't subscribe to the xenophobic bracket of things. I subscribe to logic, scientific processes. We have there's a clear policy in Namibia that says Namibians first. Right? Which is also a particular thing specifically when we have MPs that sit in a National Assembly who can't even clear the backlog of bills, discussions and the likes meant to have been cleared last year in 2024. And one of the MPs have to get up and say, hey, listen, guys, can we please, for the love of everything that's good and promising in Namibia, get down to business? I let it hang there. Now, if you don't have any particular, what's the word's name? Self-respect for your nation, for your people. Look, I'm someone that always looks to the South Africans for innovations this side. I'll also be very clear. I'm not someone, playing two-faced scenarios, but we cannot have a discussion based upon helping. Namibia is the land to help everyone. Then, well, why would we have had a refugee camp for the first instance there in Otjotjotjupa region? Then we could have just allowed all refugees to just come in. But nonetheless, getting back on track, staying on topic and staying on point in terms of the discussion, obviously, of the cyber response discussion. Now, cyber responses are weird. I'll use this word weird because it obviously just shows in many cases, because the report and the article that I wrote last year in the Villager e-paper platform, based upon the report that comes through from an international cyber agency. Well, let me be honest. It's a Russian cyber agency itself. They cited specifically that most of the attacks in the world are aimed against government websites, government agency websites and the likes. In many cases, it is just to look for information. It's not there to look for your banking details. The banking details discussion usually comes through from scamsters and scam artists. Those are the guys that they actually try to target you. Hence, in many cases, when I did not understand why there was so much furore around the Telecom Namibia incident, because in many cases, guys, you don't know how many times many of these agencies actually get attacked. I mean, there's a wonderful statistic if you even go and look at the cyber attacks that, for example, let's say the American websites, and I'm talking about American government websites, how many cyber attacks American government face on a daily basis? It's astronomical numbers. And the scenario from that obviously shows you just, you know, how severe this particular picture can be. I mean, there's a lovely resource that I always love using, and they always analyze, but they're from an American perspective. It's known as the CSIS. It's the, just want to get their full name. It's the Center for, the Center for Strategic and International Studies. It's the same guys, obviously, at the start of the Ukraine conflict in 2022, when it broke out. I also used this website specifically to outline, because back then, the Russians, you know, had used a lot of cyber attacks, firstly, before the actual military conflict broke out on the ground. The Russians used a lot of cyber attacks on the Ukrainians. They disabled the banking system through their cyber attacks. They disabled the Ukrainian banking system. They disabled the Ukrainian payment system. They disabled the Ukrainian ATM network system. They disabled, electricity supply. They disabled, in many cases, the automated water supply functions of the local population. And this is, these are pre-attacks before the actual combat. Now, you have, for example, scenarios like the Czech, back in May 2025 of this year, the Czech Republic attributed a cyber attack that was targeting its foreign ministry to a destination in China. You had another one in May of 2025, Russian hackers that conducted an espionage campaign against educational, government, and research-related entities in Tajikistan, which is a former Soviet satellite state. The hackers reportedly used an HTML application to implant file-based malware. So as you guys can see, in many cases, it's ministries and government entities that are attacked. In May of 2025, a Turkish espionage group exploited a vulnerability in a messaging app to spy on Kurdish military forces operating in Iraq over the previous year. So that's from May 2025 to May 2024. The hackers used a zero-day bug in the applications to gain access to Kurdish military messages. In May of 2025, still, the UK's National Cybersecurity Center named China as the dominant threat to national cybersecurity after a series of hacks and breaches involving British government departments and critical infrastructure, which included alleged attacks against the Electoral Commission and members of Parliament in the UK. The US, Britain, France, Germany, and other particular allies of the same cluster issued an advisory warning of a Russian cyber campaign targeting the delivery of defense support to Ukraine and other NATO defense and tech sectors. So you can obviously see the significance particularly of this particular discussion, because in many cases, it's usually government infrastructure, government websites, and government particular discussions. Now, the critical information infrastructure cited in the NAMC cert discussion, I know, I love this particular kinds of talks, guys, when it comes to these scenarios, because primarily, you can obviously see what is the first problem. We don't have legislation that can help and empower the NAMC cert to technically go on the offense. And when I say on the offense, they can identify, potentially then start legal proceedings against said particular entities, and thus cascaded inwards towards, or cascaded to another level in terms of then actually, you know, playing their particular, or playing an additional role in terms of a law enforcement agency. Because across the world, by default, it's the FBI that is sort of like the global, the FBI and Interpol that is like the global, you know, policing force in the realm specifically of cybersecurity and, you know, and malicious, cyber actions. This obviously has to give you insight, because if you look at beyond the 549,000 actions or cyber attacks or vulnerabilities that took place between April and June of this year, 843,000 cyber events were recorded, marking a sharp 224% flow or inwards flow. Specifically from non-HTTP sinkhole activity and botnet infections posing major threats. Now, according to the CSIRT analysis, the figures highlight an urgency for businesses, institutions, and individuals to strengthen cyber defenses and also to adopt proactive security practices. These are important, guys. These are significantly important. There is an action you can basically do, you yourself, by trying to look at whether or not your, let's say even your Gmail or your Google details are compromised. Just go look at yourself and, you know, there is a function. You just have to search it up. I keep forgetting what it is. But it's like a publicly auctionable function. They literally auction your domain off. You can go have a look at it, see what it actually does, and see what it actually contributes in that specific line. Now, there are obviously emerging bad actors in the world of cybersecurity and cyber defense. This has been identified supposedly as the World Leaks and the Data Carry, which were identified as the pressing global and regional risks. With African organizations increasingly becoming targets, of course, we as African, the African region, we are primarily moving towards a scenario of interconnectedness, interconnectedness economically, interconnectedness potentially digitally, interconnectedness trade, interconnectedness transport, interconnectedness in other particular aspects. I can obviously already see the issues that will obviously take place, because in the realm of trade, and trade includes transport and includes the movement of services and includes banking and includes other particular aspects, we will have to agree on whose money would be used. Currency is essential. Currency is of utmost importance in the discussion regarding what you see and what needs to be done. Now, we're like left with the last particular 20 minutes of today's particular program. I did see the phone line flashing. We'll take the next caller coming through. And obviously still see if we can still slip in one more particular talking point stemming from the Village ePaper platform for today's particular show, which is the Unpacking the Day. Eagle FM, good morning. Hello?
Ask Helmut how we can protect our own indigenous knowledge and heritage against cyber security. Because he knows that when it comes to our legal framework, which also regulates the MTC and those mobile companies, where they have actually penetrated up to 100% in the market, but we still have the majority of our vulnerable people, community members, who are at the disadvantage of the cybersecurity attack. So when you look at the commercial institution, with the service that the basic service that they give to our people, we are vulnerable. So our policy, our legal framework, our legal instruments, they are now in the process of crafting those policies and acts.
Angabona, for 10 years. For data security.
Is it only us who are protecting it? To this morning we were talking about with David Shombe that we have got, of course, we have got infrastructure. NASC is producing IT people. But we were talking about how to train them, empower them, and sustain them in the system that is already created so that they can then transfer the skills. Don't you listen to your own program?
I do, Uncle Bona.
Oh, then you do not know what you were talking about to cybersecurity.
Uncle Bona, that's why I read more.
So, I know you are fine. I'm not blaming you. I'm not blaming myself. I put myself in the same category. We are all together. Mm. So if we are all blamed, I don't know how many MP are listening to this program now.
No, I hope I hope they are listening, Angabona, because
listening when they are fighting in the parliament.
Which is dumb, Angabona. They are doing no, it's dumb. No, Angabona, we are dumb because we are in 2025, and the first thing we come and do is we want to come and debate upon ridiculous things.
And here at Eagle FM, I think that Walenga must just go and we give him a special seat in parliament and tell them that I cannot be wasting my money. I cannot be sponsoring this program alone. And the parliament is just fighting. I heard all of those people when they were coming, when they were campaigning, coming to Eagle FM and tell us, yes, but now we cyber security now.
Yeah.
It's the dual housing and what.
Yeah.
I think they are willing my young brother there.
Which one, Uncle Bona?
Johnny Walenga, who was actually giving you opportunity to give us this critical information.
Mm.
So now in the parliament they are fighting. Here we are talking about important thing issue.
Mm.
That can
no, Angabona, the important issue was supposed to be addressed there. But then if the speaker and Angabona, we all have been on school. If the speaker tells you in a professional sense, because you are being paid as an MP, please you based upon your actions, please get evicted.
What happened yesterday? I did not watch. I watched the other one where the professor and Pandas, you know.
No, Angabona. It's so ridiculous. I don't even want to explore that conversation anymore because we're literally now busy with kindergarten actions, literally in a national assembly platform.
This is national. If you know in leadership.
Yeah.
The characteristic of leadership, you know, Static Attender is always talking about you. You always talk about it. So, and then this other neglected one.
Mm.
And it has been there anyway.
Mm.
The seven leadership that talks about your natural, I don't know. So they know about these things. And what we are saying, just like you are saying, we have got now cyber security.
Mm.
We have got so many poverties, and so now, what is it that they don't understand, they don't know, that they have not heard from Eagle FM? Whether it's during their campaign, whether it's before, when I got to know about Eagle FM, I was just in the transit, and from that time up to now, what is it? The constitution is there, or the constitution of Africa.
Mm. There's a whole bunch of policy documents out there, Angabona, that they can go look at.
Unethical conduct. What are they? So I was in Osakati some time ago.
Mm.
And you know where I used to print my assignment. I do my assignment there. I do everything. And then the guys were showing me how people were saying, I see, who is this one? Eh? And the young men told me, no, they were in our street, but they were telling us now to, you know, to get connected and they work for the nation. But the way you look at it, the people are fighting in the parliament. That was, you know, unethical conduct, unethical principles. These are things that we were brought up with by our parents when we were socialized.
Yeah.
Now you in the parliament, you are fighting. Instead of making progress. That the France, is he no longer, is he coming at 10?
Yeah, he's coming now over 15 minutes.
In the bedroom, last week, or this week, people are fighting in the bedroom, and what? People are dying in poverty. And then when I look, I say, oh, and I used to tell those people who are now fighting in parliament, I don't want to misbehave in the platform.
Mm.
When we were grooming them, however, I used to tell them that, you know, Shwambo, but after they have acquired some papers and these things, so the ethical principle that they have learned and acquired,
it's flown out of the door.
Thrown out the door, now you want to behave in parliament. We deal with you according to the law, based on the rules and law.
Yeah.
I mean, rules and what? In order.
Yeah.
We don't want this kind of inspiration, and our young ones are emulating these things, and at the end of the day, they become so rebellious, even in our house. Because they are following your misbehavior.
Mm.
So it becomes very difficult for the leader to and the manager to manage those kind of behaviors. And it will be seen, yeah, those people. But you get in the parliament, you are fighting. What kind of example are you destroying the society and the moral principles that have been so much created?
Yeah.
And you are destroying them. We can't allow this one. Otherwise, our society becomes unmanageable and ungovernable.
100% Angabona, 100%.
Thank you very much for. I'm very sorry for coming so much.
No, it's all.
Nobody's coming anyway. They all, just want to come and distract.
It's all good, Angabona. Don't worry.
Thank you.
Now, on that particular note, dear listeners, leaving us still with the last 12 minutes of today's session here on the Unpacking the Day. Obviously, as you've gone through the motions of your day so far, of your morning, technically, you guys have technically just had, what, almost 2 hours in terms of productivity. We, obviously, here at Eagle FM, we've been providing you with the productivity, you know, since early morning, obviously. And the various particularly insightful discussions all the way from Matthias through to David through now here to myself on the Unpacking the Day. And the discussions obviously still stay profound in the cybersecurity discussion. At the heart, if you read the article this morning, I won't extract much from it for your further reading. At the heart of it is a discussion based on, you know, what can be done. And I've already given you the facts. The facts are, we don't have a data protection law. The second fact is, we don't have a cybersecurity law. The unfortunate thing is that the cybersecurity incidents response team, or, you know, what that's, the SIRT stands for, they are working on a bill. We don't know at what stage or phase the bill is in the Ministry of MICT, the Ministry of ICT. We don't know if it'll be placed before the House, the National Assembly itself for further dissection. But from what I've seen from opposition party members is that in many cases, many bills brought before them, they don't go read upon it. They don't get a lawyer to help them interpret the system scenario. What is the position? They just rely on the statement from the minister and that's it. In many cases, you sometimes look at, in terms of the world of nation building and taking Namibia's democracy to another level, we can't sit with the scenario of, and this happened last year, mind you. Even though former Minister Dausop, she did motivate as to why that raft of changes to the financial law landscape of Namibia had to be brought forward. I mean, those financial laws were brought forward faster than the actual laws that she wanted to bring forward or amend that actually would have contributed substantially to the everyday life of every Namibian, like the small claims court and the, what was the other one's name? Small claims court, the divorce proceedings, that particular act is as well. And there was another one specifically also that would have provided substantial impact to the everyday Namibian. But obviously, because Namibia was facing the grey listing from the FATF, that's the Financial Action Task Force. What's that FATF stand for? It is a task force that consists of a whole bunch of multilateral organizations. So we're talking about the World Bank, the IMF, and there was like three other agencies in that FATF cluster. Those guys were obviously weighing up Namibia. And they were looking at Namibia's financial laws based upon our financial systems and our financial markets. And obviously Namibia was facing grey listing, which is sort of like a naughty corner position. South Africa has been there for a very long time, i.e. because the accusation is that we are not closing any loopholes that can potentially assist financing for terrorism, financing
or money laundering for terrorism as well. And all those are the two main accusations provided. There's obviously nothing that I can do because this comes from countries who are the dispensers of the money. Helmut and I were on the home run. We've extensively told you guys that specifically every time when an African country goes and asks for a loan, they don't like conditions. But if you and I now walk to any bank here in Namibia, the bank that you bank with, and you go ask for a loan, you will be given conditions. So I don't know who told African politicians that conditions are part of the game of politics, specifically in developmental agendas of nations that come through. And we now have to literally have to use that term. We can't just say developed world. We literally have to say third world. Because we can't print our own money. We're not in charge of the economies. Yes, we fake it until we make it. But those are the realities we sit with, guys. I mean, I have to tell you another particular good story, obviously. But the good story is always coupled with a little bit of a sadness scenario. We can ultimately come up, and this is sort of like to leave with a parting wisdom aspect. You know, I'm not always someone that gives wisdom. I talk facts because I don't like, you know, branching out into unnecessary hyperbole, you know, wasting unnecessary oxygen just to give a poetic gesture that doesn't mean anything to anyone's life. Last week I went to a public lecture done by that, I've mentioned this Polish academics, you know, a public lecture that he gave at NUST last week before. This was either yesterday morning or on Friday. And there was an idea that popped up from while I was sitting there in that public lecture listening. It was a similar idea that a friend of mine and a colleague of hers had conducted here in Namibia. Guys, we can create innovations without technically having to demand payment for it. I'll say it again. We can create innovations technically without demanding payment for it. It'll only be Namibians that will take Namibia forward. It won't be anyone else. It won't be a South African. It won't be someone from China. It won't be a Zimbabwean. It won't be a German. I'm not talking about a Namibian German. I'm talking about a German from Germany. It won't be an American. It'll only be us Namibians. Now that's the only part of wisdom I leave you with. Reason being, I have seen Namibians with true innovation, with true ideas, putting it to practice, putting it into play, for using a sport terminology, and it has paid off. This past weekend I went to an event, amateur rugby players, they're not professional, but for the love of the game, they play the game. They showed up for a tournament, putting their bodies on the line, because they participate through a social venture, which is the sport. Guys, every day I see Namibians literally going the extra mile for free. Let me say that again, for free. For free. They go the extra mile for free. They have an 8-to-5 job. They have a job. But because they love the social dynamic, the social aspect that comes along with doing this extra activity, it adds value to their life. Now, nowhere have I heard Namibians in other particular prominent positions in the Namibian economic landscape come forward and say, hey, listen, there are existing projects or existing things that are already running. Let me add value to that. Nowhere. Yes, I know. The callers' contributions from Angabwana and Mandume, they've provided insights. And Angabwana himself has cited, you know, artisans and this. Sure, Angabwana, that's all good. But do you guys know what can create the biggest wealth sharing mechanisms in this country? If we have concerted effort positioned against behind existing things. Let me mention it again. You target a activity, a sport. Young people love sport. But from what I've heard, sort of like in, you know, from looking at like what the discussions my nieces and other young people of their similar age group and ranking have, is in many cases they don't see the benefit of playing a sport or enjoying the sport. Dear listeners, sport is the mechanism for economic prosperity for so many Africans who go and play football in Europe. To such an extent that it literally looked like, and it still is considered, human trafficking. But many of those African boys, they don't have even a grade 12 to their names. Mario Balotelli was given up as an adopted baby by his two Ghanaian parents when they landed as illegal immigrants in Italy. You know what? What is Mario Balotelli's avenue? What was his avenue to economic prosperity? Playing football. He played for both Milan clubs. Man is a multimillionaire before he was 30. Through just his body. Using his physical body to achieve that. Now, we can create a similar scenario in Namibia. We can. I'll position it again. It is the easiest way that we can achieve this. It's the quickest in this next 5 years. It'll be the easiest and the quickest. The fishing sector was supposed to provide that. But hearing some of the nightmare stories that I was just acquainted to as well just over this past weekend, you could clearly see that this past 10 years that actually led up to the fish rot scandal itself, that no, the fishing sector would never have achieved that level unless various other particular economic mechanisms were put in place to achieve the desired outcomes that we wanted. I mean, to hear stories of Namibian, of fishermen being paid 5,000, 6,000 and you're busy losing your fingers. No. And if you guys don't know what are the occupational hazards for fishermen on a fishing boat, on a fishing vessel, go and watch the, what's that thing's name? That American show. Go and watch the, is it the hardest catch or the deepest catch? Go and watch it. Go and watch it. These are the particular realities, guys. And the realities have to be met. Hard on, face on, fronted, obviously, facing up to them. But you approach from the side of the things that can be built from. From the side of the things that can be worked from. From the side of the things that you can literally say, hey, listen, this is something that we can change. Let's put some effort behind this. Don't worry, guys. I still don't see France outside the door. That means I still have some extra particular time. Now, currently right now, let me tell you another story. Just to give you a little bit of to describe to you the unfairness of things. My sister has a friend who's been living in Johannesburg and in Kenya, you know, for much of her life, her professional life. This woman is married to a Ghanaian citizen. She runs a successful consultancy in cybersecurity. Or not, is it cybersecurity? But it's something to do with, primarily for banking corporations. From what I last understood, she does not, this particular individual does not, do any work in Namibia, because Namibia just does not have this particular, there's no market. Now, yes, many of you would come and say, hey, listen, then that person can come and establish. No. Let's not even lie to each other. Let's not lie to each other. When you view what's happening just outside of Namibia's borders, just outside of Namibia's borders, you will get to understand, firstly, there's a whole bunch of us Namibians that literally can cross the threshold in stepping up to the next level. Because in Namibia, the current economic landscape in Namibia does not give you the opportunity to step up to the next level. It's either that the conditions in the Namibian landscape just cannot accommodate the next level, or if we can, like what I've seen already, there's an oversupply of things. There is, what's that? There's a saturation. Saturation has taken place. You can see it from the education sector, even though that was sort of like a missupply. But for many reasons, and I have not heard from the ministry itself this particular classification, or even from the high institutions that give that particular training, specifically for the training of teachers. You have to understand what you are supplying. I have never understood such blind economic planning that has literally led to a catastrophe. What is the catastrophe? Oversupply of a certain kind of a teacher. Guys, a human needs to work. If let's say that teacher, that teaching graduate, graduates by 24. Right? Diploma or degree, whatever it is. They enter the market. They get employed immediately as a teacher, as a training teacher or trainee teacher or something. And they commit to stay there in that sphere, in that economic practice for the rest of their life until they are 59. So I'm talking about someone staying there for 25 years, 27 years. Let that sink in. It's that person's right to stay at the same school in the same, at the same venue for 27 years. On that particular note, dear listeners, it does bring us up to the end of this morning's particular session here of the Unpacking the Day. Potentially this, you know, Michael will be back tomorrow. I say potentially. Franz has stepped in right now with a massive yellow book. Franz, what's that yellow book that you've got there with you?
This one is, MasterCard. You remember those documents that you guys drop in the book, in the
office,
in the group?
Yeah.
So it's a MasterCard AI Africa.
Awesome stuff.
Yeah, so I'm just trying to come and break in.
I don't even want to imagine how long it took you, Franz, to type that whole document right there. Yeah, but 100%, Franz, obviously, having taken 5 minutes off from your side, obviously, you know, do enjoy the rest of your program.